Good morning and welcome to Neocony View, where we take a look at all the things happening, south of Neocony Mountain, Tillamook County. And we have various guests this morning from the Tillamook County Library, and we're going to start by talking to the director of the library system, Sarah Charlton. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Peter. It's fun to be here.
I want to start with kind of an odd note, and I don't mean this is not confrontational, but what is the point of a library these days? I mean, you sort of think you can go online and get access to everything. Why do we need libraries?
You know, it's really amazing. Libraries are busier now than we ever have been. Some say it's a down economy, but people come to libraries besides checking out books and the children's books. People come in here to use their computers, get help. With the internet now, things are so much more complicated than they were just a few years ago, because people would come in and say, I need help finding a picture, and we could do that years ago. Now they come in and say, you know, I've got this diagnosis from a doctor. I don't understand what it is. Can you help me? And we get information for them. We get business information for people. We help people get tax forms that they need. Internet is just so confusing nowadays. We're here to travel that road with people and help them get for the information needs.
That's an enormous change, I would think, from what we used to define a library.
Yeah, and we've become more of a community center. Libraries have always become a community center, but now people are so isolated. People come here to be around others because we all have only a world in our home by ourselves, and to come here for different programs and to meet friends, and a lot of people traveling through and stop in to check in their email. And we noticed a big difference when the economy went south, because our internet use went up because people couldn't afford internet at home anymore. People cut off the cable because that was an expense they couldn't afford. Our DVDs and videos just skyrocketed. So we wear many hats now. And it's a lot more fun than it was just a few years ago.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I want to introduce right now Luke Karlick, who is we were talking before we went on this morning about reference librarian, but we were also talking databases, and since Sarah just talked about the whole changing nature of the library, I guess the job of reference librarian is different than it might have been even a few years ago.
Yeah, well, our basic function still pretty much remains the same, but definitely the tools that we use to address different questions and gather information for people has changed. One of the great things that a library can provide is our databases, which are electronic resources and can be accessed through the internet. They're not a for free resource. The library does pay a subscription rate, and for an individual user to pay that amount of money per search, it would just kind of be undesirable. But by pooling our resources at the library, we can provide these resources for everyone to use. And if you just need one search, or if you're performing searches every day, you can take advantage of these resources.
What sort of things do people look for?
Some of our big ones are, we have a Chilton's database, which is the complete line of Chilton's automotive manuals. So all that information is available through our subscription. We also have a subscription to Value Line, which is the big kind of investment advice and reports that people have access to as well.
So people are really coming here for giving nuts and bolts reasons.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep, on a variety of topics.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's impressive. And also with us, another Sarah Beeler, who is the manager. And there's just when I think of libraries, frankly, I tend to think of younger people using libraries, but the range of ages that use the library system is the range of human experience.
It is. It's all-encompassing. And last year, Kathy Chadsey, our children's librarian, encouraged me, and so did Sarah, to develop an adult summer reading program, and that's what I'd like to spend a minute or two talking about today. We thought, well, why should the kids have all the fun? And so what we have this year is our second annual adult summer reading program. For every adult in Tillamook County, if they read 8 books, and we will hand them a reading log, they can bring that back and get a certificate for a free book from our bookstore. And they're also entered into a grand prize drawing. And we've had some wonderful donors last year and this year, Siggy G Ocean Charters out of Garibaldi and also TAPA, both donated our grand prizes. And so people can be entered for a deep sea bottom fishing trip on the Siggy G or for a theater pass from TAPA. And we have some other smaller prizes as well. But along with just encouraging people to experience the joy of reading and take a few minutes just for themselves this summer, we would also like to encourage and invite people to come to some of our wonderful adult summer reading programs. And we have a wonderful lineup. We have Jane Kirkpatrick and Philip Margolin, a couple of best-selling authors, coming this summer. And we have two groups. One is the Chinese Puppet Theater Group. They've won a National Heritage Fellowship Award. This is the highest honor that the National Endowment for the Arts gives out to performing groups that encourage cultural learning. Anyway, so we have the Chinese Puppet Theater coming on August 18th, and we have the Dreyfuls. They're an amazing couple that have traveled all over the world, doing undersea photography. They've had their pictures in books with Jacques Cousteau, and they've written all kinds of articles, and they've written 7 books on digital photography. Very entertaining and interesting couple that have traveled the world and doing what they love, and they'll be coming. And we have other local authors that are well-known and well-respected here in our community. So we've got a lot of local talent, whether it's in Tillamook County or in Oregon or in the Northwest, and we're lucky that they're willing to come here and share their interests with us.
Sarah Charlton, as we've been listening to all of this, it strikes me that, the library has become kind of a multimedia experience. It's not just about books anymore.
That's true. We've always had programs, and what's made us a little unique, for many years in our old building, we did not have room for programs except for the children's programs. And for the past 30 years, we dreamed of having a nice new building where we could have some great programs, and our dream has come true. And now we're able to really have fun with the programs, and this has been our first summer we've been able to really take it to that next level. And our community room will hold up to 200 people, and we hope we see that many people for our various programs. The kids' programs we've had last summer, we had over 150 kids in there. It was crazy. In the old building, we could have maybe 50 kids. So now everyone can come and join in. We don't have to say, sorry, we don't have any more room for you. So it's really fantastic.
Do you feel you need to make the case for the old-fashioned hardcover or paperback book? I mean, we're inundated now with information about e-readers and that sort of thing, and they have their place too. But what
they
about
do? Books? We have e-books in our collection now for people. I myself, I have a Kindle, and I also love the Barnes and Noble's Nook because I use my Kindle when I travel because I kept getting, too many books in my suitcase and having to pay that price for the luggage. So the Kindle helps me a lot there. But e-books are fantastic, and every group of media we have has an audience. So videos, we can't buy videos anymore, but we still have our video collection, and that will fade away one day because we can't buy them anymore. And we'll go on to what's coming down the road. And that's one thing libraries have to do. You have to have the new media coming in, or if you're stagnant, you're going to die, just like any other business. So you have to keep right on the edge, and we have a great time doing it.
So if I want an e-book, how do I do it?
You can do it from home with your library card. You just come into our system, check out an e-book, and the ones we have, you have to download a computer and then move it to whatever you want to do with it. The Kindle's not working with libraries yet, but I think in a couple of years I'll have to come play with us too. But it's a lot of fun.
I would think, though, that thinking of top of my head, the licensing issues, because you have Amazon or whoever it might be, they're selling the books, you're getting them as a library, but they're not a physical entity.
Yeah.
And theoretically you could make an infinite number of copies available, but you really can't because I imagine the licensing restrictions prohibit that.
That's true. With our e-books we have, we pulled statewide. So we buy so many thousand titles a year. And some books we can download as many as you want. But then others I've noticed, it will come up and say this book is checked out for now. And which makes it kind of interesting. But that collection is growing because we had like 1,500 copies to start out with in e-books, and now we're up around, I think, 5,000. It's grown quite a bit in the past couple of years. It's really exciting.
One of the things I discovered about the library, Tillamook Library, is it's not just about Tillamook County, but especially if you're online, you've really got access to an enormous resource outside the county.
We do. We're tied in with Lincoln County, and 20 years ago we formed a network. And here in Tillamook, we have about 170,000 titles at this point. But when you join the two counties together, it's about 450,000 titles. And we have a courier that we go 3 times a week and meet the courier down Lincoln County. So we move around about 17,000 books a year between the two counties. It's just the poor courier guy is exhausted all the time, and I can see why. But he's getting great muscles. So things move around quite a bit. And everyone has a unique collection somewhat. So if we don't buy it, Newport will probably buy it because they're known for the foreign films down there. And we're known more for our children's media up here. So it's real. It's nice working back and forth. Everyone's a little bit different. Plus, we have TBCC's in our network and also Oregon Coast Community College. So we do have two colleges with the other seven libraries in a network at this point.
Luke, I didn't think when we started this conversation that we were talking a whole lot about electronic media, but how does all of this work with the reference library?
Well, a big part of ours, you know, kind of with the electronic media, since it doesn't have like a physical presence, one aspect of our job at least is kind of promoting that material and kind of giving it a physical space because, you know, if people know that they have access to these things, they do get used a lot more. When they're just sort of electronic, they tend to kind of fade into kind of that invisible space that the virtual world inhabits. So, you know, kind of introducing people to resources is kind of a big component of my job.
So, I tend to think maybe of my own personal reference library being, I don't know, Wikipedia, which is many sense suspect as far as actually tracing down accurate information. But, how is a reference library different than, say, Google?
Well, it depends on the product because, you know, when we build our electronic database collection, it's not just from one vendor or from one person or one company. You know, we kind of gather kind of the cream of the crop of the different resources. For example, like we have a medical library, and the bulk of it's produced by Gale, which is a big name in reference publishing. And kind of the nice thing is if you know that if you're going to perform a search for a particular drug or something like that, if you do that search in a Google, in kind of a Google search engine kind of thing, you're going to pull up a lot of advertisements.
I was going to say garbage, but...
Yes, garbage is another, you know, a lot of personal opinion, things that, you know, maybe haven't been signed off by kind of a governing medical board or something like that. And that's kind of one of the nice things. It does save a lot of time when you do use like a library resource because you do kind of just get the good stuff and stuff that's been, you know, gone through some kind of publishing process, so it has been looked over with a couple different eyes for accuracy and updated. That's the other tough thing with the internet is you can never tell how new information is, and especially like with medical or product recalls, you know, that stuff changes on a day-to-day basis, and it's nice, you know, to have that kind of authority that goes with sort of a name behind the product or information.
Sarah Peeler, you were talking earlier about the adult reading program, and I'm wondering, do you sense any trends in either fiction or nonfiction that people are gravitating toward? Or there is anything over the course of the last few years, where did this get on the map?
I think with the downturn in the economy, people are coming in more for entertainment purposes. And so I've noticed people are reading, it seems to me that they're reading a little bit more fiction. And whether you're having a hard week looking for a job and you need a little escape, or whether you need to find your book on how to write a resume or use one of our online tools for creating a resume, I've noticed that the economy has played a bit of a role in what people are looking at.
I was listening the other day, I think it was All Things Considered, that had a piece about, it was a reviewer who, the course looking over summer reading, was surveying some 150 vampire books. I'm wondering, have vampires made it from adolescence to adulthood as far as reader interest? Have you noticed that?
I have, actually. we do have more teens and adults looking for the vampire stories. And, of course the Stephanie Meyer Twilight series crossed many ages, and I had 50 and 60 year old women and men too coming in looking for that series, and it's actually a teen literature, but all things vampire right now are quite popular.
I see a film series in this, maybe just to correspond with. I mean, there's so many vampire movies. Sarah Charlton, the library system, or the whole concept of a library, I think is sort of founded on a hopeful premise of, you know, open access to information, mm-hmm. and, you know, being able to, the freedom and discovery that you get by having all of these books in front of you. And yet these days, there are all sorts of questions of, security of information, and we want to make sure that the library and the material that's out there is both properly vetted and that it's not getting into the wrong hands, and there's all sorts of national security stuff. It seems to me the library is kind of an interesting focal point for where freedom of information comes up against larger societal obligations. Does that actually make a difference in your life?
Oh, yeah. With all libraries, first and foremost, patron information is confidential. In the Oregon law, a patron's name, address, and phone number, we cannot give out, period. Sometimes somebody will come in and ask, I want to see what my spouse reads or my husband reads. We can't do that. And we do upset people from time to time because we cannot give out the information because spouse went to, check on something another spouse is reading. That doesn't happen in a library.
This is the hypothetical. The feds are looking to see if there's anybody who's looked at books on bomb making or something like that.
They have to bring out a search warrant. If I get a search warrant, I take it to a county council and we work with it from there. And that should be reassuring to the public. That means not anyone can walk in here and say, tell me who's reading what. Not an officer, no one. They have to have a search warrant, and then county counselor is called. Then we go through the paperwork from then on. And that has happened to me a couple of times, and everyone else should feel very protected.
Yeah, and, it's just sort of, it does come down to the idea that we like to think we can go into our library or online or whatever and have a certain freedom and anonymity, and I guess that's an issue for you at the library.
That's true. And the one thing I do tell people, especially on internet computers, if you wouldn't do it in front of your mother, don't do it on a public computer wherever you're at. It just makes common sense. And when we see people doing something really inappropriate, we say, it's time to go buy your own computer and take it someplace else. And libraries have learned a lot over the past few years, too. And it's been an interesting education with the internet, I will say.
Well, do you have any kind of filters on your computers here?
We do for the kids. Mm-hmm. We do for the kids here at Maine. And the parents have the ultimate decision. They will come in, and what I've seen, when the kids are young, the parents will check filter computers, and we have a code on the card. When the kids are getting up 13, 14, the parents will come in and say, they're ready for full access, because they trust their kids. And some parents know their kids are not ready until they're 18. That's a parent's decision. We don't get in that way. And we help the kids, because some things do get blocked. My most interesting blockage years ago was a child was trying to enter a contest for the American Beekeeping Association, and it kept getting blocked. I don't know why. But then we work around that for a child, because we know what they're trying to do. But the parents have the choice on how they want their kids, because they know when their child is ready for full access. And we have the kids' computers downstairs in the kids' room, and we don't let adults on the computers downstairs. And then we have teenagers in a separate area upstairs, and then the adults have their own area. So that helps quite a bit.
This may be a question more for Luke as reference librarian. Keywords. I mean, words are interesting things. They mean different things in different contexts, and is that something you get involved in?
Oh, sure. No, I mean, that's sort of one of the more difficult things about sort of the internet in general is that it's all word-based. You can't walk into a section of the internet and find what you're looking for. So, coming up with kind of alternative, alternative spellings a lot of times will help too, but just sort of, synonyms and homonyms, things like that. But, also that's kind of one of the nice things with the databases. They are kind of structured around subject areas and subject guides. We help people try to find things a lot of times. It's very frustrating for sort of an elderly patron to find like something if they've always described it in kind of language that's kind of fallen out of vogue, because you do have to kind of think in what kind of words will bring up this information as opposed to sort of, sentences or, there's no kind of context or it's not like a semantic search where we'll find what you're describing. It's really just word-based.
So your job in a kind of peculiar way can often be translator from present terminology based on the history of what a given word or concept means.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of the nice thing. With a reference librarian, it kind of gives you a fresh set of eyes to look at your information need. When a patron comes in, they're really close to the problem that they're working on. And just being able to discuss it with another individual who's, trying to help guide you, I think is kind of a valuable role that I provide to people who come into the desk.
Sarah Charlton, I want to talk not just about this. We're broadcasting this morning from the mothership, as it were, the main branch of the Tillamook Library. There are other branches, and you've got that new bookmobile.
It's lovely. The new bookmobile arrived 3 weeks ago, and we've had it on the road, I guess, 2 weeks now. The old bookmobile we got in 93, and it has done its duty. It was wearing out, 200,000 miles. We could barely start it every day, so it lasted till the new one got here.
What's it going to become, an ice cream truck or something?
Well, it's going to probably go on eBay. The state puts everything on eBay.
Wow.
And keep, if you're interested, you know, let me know, and I'll keep you posted on the eBay information, because that's the way we have to do it with the state. But this new one should last about 15 years. And one wonderful thing, when you see it, you might recognize the mural on it. Helen Hill, who did a beautiful mural here at the staircase, gave us permission to use her mural on the new bookmobile. And the Library Foundation paid for the mural, and it's just beautiful. It's not in your face. It's muted. It's just lovely. If you haven't seen it, when you see it, stop, pull over, and go take a look. And it's fantastic. And we plan to be in all the parades this summer. Last year, we were off the road most of the time. So this year, we'll be hitting the parade circuit again. We'll do about 7 parades this year.
And in addition to parades, how does the bookmobile work? I mean, where does it go, and what's its function?
Well, boy, it wears about 10,000 hats. First off, we go to neighborhood stops like Neskowin and Wheeler. Then we have home farm stops, because we have a lot of homeschool kids out there. If a farmer requests, we'll stop by a farmer or businesses. We don't stop in a location where a branch is. We stay away from areas where we have branches. We go to every daycare, a nursing home, a resident home, in the area. During school year, we go to school in the outlying areas every Monday, a school day. So once a month, we hit the various schools. And that's always a lot of fun. And the bookmobile is still the busiest branch, and it's creeping up on being the second busiest branch. It checks out about 35,000 items a year.
35,000?
It is hopping. And Bruce, who is a Santa Claus to bookmobiles, does a wonderful job. And Bob, the backup driver, is tremendous, too. So we have a great team out there.
And one of the cool things, I think, are the branches, because it really, I mean, in Tillamook's kind of a spread out county, and it's nice to be able to, if you're in North County, having the Manzanita branch, for example, is just about as good as being able to drive the 25 miles here.
It is. And we have, of course, the Manzanita branch. We have a branch in Rockaway that just turned 10 years old. And Garibaldi, Bay City, Pacific City, and if I may say, the Manzanita, Rockaway, and Pacific City are owned by various Friends of the Library group that maintain the building for us, and then we move in with the staff and the computers and the books, and we could not be in those areas without those Friends groups supporting us. And Bay City and Garibaldi, we're at City Hall there, and thank God we're at City Hall, because they've been great supporting us all these years. So that's how we survive, by having the Friends groups and the City Halls letting us live there.
And the coming year, what's coming up? Anything new and exciting?
Well, if I can, yes. A couple of things. We are starting a brand new teen summer reading schedule. Garibaldi branch started a teen program a couple years ago, and this year we're going full blast for the teen program here at Maine. And what's really going to be cool is the Library Foundation gave $2,000 to start this program. So we're going to have a Wii, so people can come in, the kids can come in and play Wii. We're going to have a band, Guitar Hero, Band Hero. That's going to be a blast. We're going to have guest speakers. July 1st, we're going to have Hula Hoops. That's big again. Who would have thought? And every week, we're going to have a prize drawing, and we're having paint activities 1 week, a felt sea monster, science workshop, Riding Giants, the movie 1 week, and of course everyone needs to read a little bit. Then we're having a big party at the end of summer, but every week there'll be prizes, and then we'll have a grand prize at the end of the summer. And this is especially for teens. It's going to be great. And then everyone knows Kathy Chatsian, a fantastic summer reading program she does. Every branch has a summer reading program, and then the big one is here at Maine. So we have everything from a reptile man would be here. We have a science guy coming in, musicians, storytellers, a juggler, and we have the Border Collie International Dog Show coming back. We had them at the old library, and they couldn't jump. The dogs could not do their tricks because the ceilings were so low. Here they can jump 20 feet. It doesn't matter. And then we have
you had this building built just for that.
Just for the dog show.
Just for the dog show.
And we have comedians coming, and the puppet show is always our grand finale because kids still love puppets. I don't care what age you are. Puppets are still fun. So I think we're in party mode for this summer.
A couple times during this talk this morning, you mentioned the foundation, and they seem to be quite the backbone of the organization in many respects.
They are. The foundation was started in 1988 to be able to receive funds to have this library built. And the new main library was built with a bond levy, but still the building needed more money. So the foundation jumped in. They raised about $1 million for the furniture and the construction, because as we were building this building, we had the huge tsunami in Thailand that hit, and building prices jumped up. Katrina hit, all the material prices jumped up. So before we knew it, the building was a third higher than what we had anticipated and passed the bond for. So the Library Foundation jumped up and said, we can do it. So instead of having a horrible experience, they just raised $1 million. They bought all the furniture for this building. About 500,000 went for the construction costs because of the disasters in the world at that time. The building prices just skyrocketed on us. And now the foundation, they have turned their sights to wonderful goals. They run the small bookstore in this main library, and all that money is going back into the programs. So they seeded the teen program. They're giving some money for the adult reading program. So they are wonderful.
Before we wrap things up this morning, I'm going to go around the table here and surprise you all, I guess, have you pick a must-read this summer, probably one that I guess somebody wouldn't have thought of. I mean, there's obvious read. Or maybe what's the favorite thing you've picked up this summer for yourself that you think somebody should take a look at?
You know, I am a mystery fanatic. I never thought I would get into mystery, because normally I read biographical information. David Baldacci, I adore his books, and James Patterson. And I grew up outside D.C., so any mystery surrounding that area I just love. So I have to admit, I'm a mystery. And, of course, being summer, I'm into trash reading, too. So what can I say?
Nothing wrong with trash reading.
I know. Summer requires it. That and Jimmy Buffett, you know?
Luke, what's your pick of the summer?
Well, I'm going with just in the recent death of David Foster Wallace. I'm going to try to tackle his mammoth Infinite Jest this summer. And I'm on page 100, so it's moving right along, and I that's the one I'm picking.
Okay, and Sarah Beeler, what's your pick of the summer?
My pick of the summer is Trask by Don Barry. It's going to be our community reads book this fall, and it's loosely based on historical fact. It's a local history, fictionalized account of our local history. And should be a good read for anyone interested in local history and all the interesting facts that created our community here.
I'm very happy you picked a local one. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great because, you know, I think we learn so much more about our area just by reading. And sometimes there are these little rivulets from the different directions that point us towards something very true, even if it's fictionalized.
One more thing, if I may say, as you join our different programs, the Library Foundation, one thing they did fund is we have great signs for people to put in their yard. I'm a Tillamook County reading champion. Yes. We know so many people read in this county. It's incredible. So the foundation bought about 400 signs, and they're for yard signs, they're for window signs. And as you sign up, you can get a sign, take your house. In fact, I put up my sign last night in my yard. I want anyone to know that I read mysteries. But we hope people would come and enjoy the fun. It'd be so much fun to drive around the county, see everyone with a reading sign in their yard saying they're a reading champion.
Fantastic. Well, all of you have been terrific. Sarah Charlton, Sarah Beeler, Luke Karlick, thank you for joining us this morning on Neocone View. And grab a book. Read this summer. Thanks for being with us.